Warning, the following podcast may contain people who aren't very good at golf. You're listening to the Chili Dippers Podcast.
That is right. Thank you, Duke. You are listening to the Chili Dippers. I'm your host, Luke Clark. Sitting across from me, as always, is a man who is soon to come out of retirement to have a profession in the medical industry, David Ralston. How are you, mate?
Good, thank you. Firstly,
becoming a doctor?
Not quite.
A dentist?
Nearly. You've dropped the disco and cannon.
Yeah, because we're playing shit golf.
Okay, I'm going on. I'm in the right.
I'll get it out of the way. You've beaten me in every round time, but neither of us putting up monsters.
I'm still hitting it beautifully, though. Now, my jaunt into the medical profession isn't quite what you'd think.
Physio. Chiropractor.
medical research.
So what does that entail?
I signed up to be a guinea pig for...
And this is legit. You've actually signed up?
This is true. Yeah, this is true. So medical research. So I've signed up to be involved in medical testing. So they rang me up the other day and said, can you do this, that? And I said, yeah. And the thing is, they love me too because do you drink? No. Do you smoke? No. Do you drink coffee? No. Because you've got to abstain from those things while you're getting the testing done. So, no, I don't do any of them. So they love me. That's great. So they ask you all these questions over the phone. Then you go into the office again. And I've signed up I was taking the part of marijuana, or was meant to be taking the part of marijuana that isn't the... Is the HTC bit is the bit that gets you high. There's another part that works as an anti-inflammatory, and they were using that to help ward off dementia or something. So I was actually in there to help people and find a drug to cure dementia and so on. So they asked you all these questions, and you say, yes.
So you've been into the building.
So I did it all over the phone. Then I went into the building, and they give you the sheet, and they ask you, do you drink? Do you smoke? Do you do this? When was the last time you did physio? All these sort of things in your past. And then they go through that. Then you go through and see the doctor. The doctor asks you again. And they're really thorough. They ask you. And I had done this 4 or 5 years ago. I went and done this. And I failed because I was too fat. They have a body mass index limit.
Yep.
But I passed that easy this time. No worries. So that's good enough. Again. And so the doctor's asking me, do you drink? Do you smoke? You're not allowed to get your girlfriend pregnant for the 3 months after the testing, which wasn't going to be a problem. and that's good. So then you go to the urine test as well and all that. And then you go to the nurses, and the nurses ask you the same lot of questions again. And the nurses are loving me. They're going, oh, you're the best. You'll be so good because you don't drink, because you don't smoke, no worries, all that sort of stuff. We're all going through. What is it? And so it was going to be a 9-night stay and then 3 or 4 follow-up visits. And for that, they're going to give me $5,000 or $6,000. So that's fantastic.
And a third eye.
So the point is you just lie in hospital. They take your blood pressure and all that each morning. They give you the drug or a placebo. You don't know which you got. Are you getting any headaches? Have you grown a third eye?
This is locked in. You're going to do this.
I'm still in the bed there getting all the tests, and they go, okay.
You've had it all done.
This part is all done. Yep. So this is that's what I'm saying. This
Bloody
is done.
Hell.
So I'm on the thing. They say one more test. We just got to take your blood pressure. I said, yeah, no worries, that'll be fine. So they strap the thing on my arm and they walk off, and the machine starts beeping and flashing and going. I'm thinking, oh my God, the machine's broke. That's because my blood pressure. And they've come back and they're hitting the machine and go, oh, it's still. And they unplug it and they go, oh, that can't be right. No one's blood pressure is that high. That machine must be wrong. We'll get a new machine in and do it again. And so they take my blood pressure again. They go, oh, it's a bit high. We better call the doctor in here. And so they said, we'll do it on your other arm. And I said, are you a bit nervous? And I said, oh, well, the machine nearly blowing up sort of scared me a bit. They said, just relax, calm down, whatever. We'll do you again on the other arm. So they change arms, change whatever. And they go, oh, you're just a smidge too high. And I said, oh, well, how can we wait a while? And the doc goes, no, if you have two even though you had 3 overreadings, we discounted the first one. If you have 3 readings that are too high, you don't qualify to go in and do the 9 days and all that sort of stuff.
What?
So I'd gone all that way. I'd said the questions on the phone, in the office, with the doctors, with the nurses. Took a couple of hours sort of thing. got there and didn't pass the blood pressure thing. So I was telling Fixer the same story. Yeah, I'm obviously. Fixer goes, I've got some tablets that'll get you through there, mate. Don't worry about that. So when I get back to Melbourne and all that, I'll take one of Fixer's blood. I hope the medical profession aren't listening to this because I'm probably not meant to take the...
Sure,
and,
they're not.
And there we go. So, and then I'll be involved in the medical profession.
Did they test your blood pressure?
Yeah.
After you've got driven your car in any sort of traffic? Because for the last few days, I don't think I've heard too many. One thing that gets you filthy is when you have to stop your cruise control or the person in front of you is slowing down or they're going at, like, if they're not doing the exact right thing on the road, you lose it.
Well, firstly, you're right. I trammed into that. Well. But now, today we're doing Coffs Harbour. And we did. We had to drive from Byron Bay to Coffs Harbour in the morning before we played. And I love to drive, but I love to drive because of the relaxed part of the drive. I don't like anything. No. I want nothing going on. Don't want to have to touch any of the pedals. And I remember driving across Bosnia-Herzegovina with Wisey, and he called me one gear. We actually had a manual. I just found a gear I liked and left it in that the whole trip because I just don't like doing it. When I'm driving, I just want to gently steer.
Yeah,
but
I
do filthy up in the car a bit. Yes.
All right, so let's get to this golf course because this is a special one. I've been waiting. We've been waiting a long time. Out of all the sort of the top 100s we hadn't played, like this is one of the ones that was high on the rankings plus the bucket list. I've seen plenty of photos.
And always going to be hard to get to. Middle of Coffs Harbour. It's not in a major city. It's a long way from it. It's 4 hours is the nearest major city type thing. Yep. So
it's not actually the Coffs Harbour Golf Course because there is one there that's also in the top 100. Yep. This is Bonneville. In the hinterland of Coffs Harbour.
Oh, very nice.
So it's a Terry Watson designed golf course.
Watto does a great job.
Yep, apparently he was asked to build something. They were actually asking him to build something like Augusta. Give us our version of Augusta, which a lot of people refer to as the closest we've got to, which you can see why, the comparisons with the trees and all that sort of stuff. Couple of little stats here. It's not very long. It's only just over 6,000 metres again.
Doesn't need to be.
No. The slope is 144.
Oh.
Yeah, that's getting up there. Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
That's the highest number I've heard.
Yeah, I didn't know that on the day.
Not the highest number I've ever heard in my life. I've heard higher numbers. It's the highest slope rating I've heard. Wow.
So normally it was $129 a round to play Coffs Harbour. But look, it's not something obviously you play at that price, you play all the time, but worth getting there.
Look, as
absolutely spectacular.
I'm that tight, I squeak when I walk.
Yep.
And I'd pay $120 there to play, no worries. It was just magnificent.
Yep. So it's one of those courses where you barely see any other hole. When you're on a hole, it's like the only hole you see. There's the odd couple of times where you...
Only just,
and you really notice it too, because you go, oh, look at that, another fairway. Look, it's real funny when you see one. Yep. Like it's...
Should we go back to first impressions, drive-in?
Oh, yes.
Well, I said the drive-in, it was a four-hour drive-in, so it was a big drive-in. And bloody roadworks. Wasn't there some roadworks?
Oh, there was some roadworks.
And Coffs Harbour for a small... Oh, that's what I meant to do. I had a thing. I can do that later. That's okay.
God, you would have blown up one of those blood pressure machines if they had one. Oh, that's what we need. Next time we drive on there, your heart rate monitor or a blood pressure monitor when there's roadworks inside.
Coffs Harbour's a busy place for how small it is.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
But then, so you get through Coffs, you go through a bit of bushland, you go through Stadium Street, where all the stadiums are.
Yep, aptly named.
And into the bushland, and then you come in, and look, I reckon you can feel the peace and the serenity as you get through the gates.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, I agree. Yep. No,
that's the first time you've said that in 78 shows.
And because you come into the car park, like that's obviously the obvious, but the actual clubroom sort of blocks your view to begin with.
Yeah, you can't see anything from the car park, which is good.
Yeah, and it's this beautiful sort of Federation-style building, but it looks like it was built yesterday, like this sort of cross between modern slash sort of... And then you walk through this little sort of narrow... Yeah. And like you say, it's just so quiet, birds chirp. And we copped like we've said the last couple of pods, this was...
Weather wasn't perfect, the last couple, but this was perfect.
This was
perfect.
Literally not a cloud in the sky. Blue skies, zero wind, not a breath, and just 21, 22 degrees.
Perfect.
Like just perfect.
It was just perfect.
So yeah, you walk through this little sort of a tiny little, like a garden sort of archway kind of thing, and then you walk around to the front
and
side,
and
you actually, it literally takes your breath away.
Yep.
And it looked because the trees are so high. We teed off at 11:30, so we'll get there at probably 10:30. And like I said, sun was up. There was still dew all over the fairways.
Frost because the
trees are so high. They're just shaded.
They lived in shade, which got us later. There was something about the greens later we'll talk about with the shade. So I think you went and had a look in the clubhouse, which I went inside to the proper clubhouse. Sorry, yep. You went into the pro shop. And I went upstairs into the balcony, and the view from the balcony, just you can see three or four or five of the holes. You can see right down the fairways, and they sort of frame themselves up with the height of the trees.
Yep.
And it's a sort of, I remember later the next day, we were talking to Goods's missus, who's not a golfer by any means.
Yep.
And she was saying how it was, and I said, look, even if you hated golf or had nothing to do with it, you would love being at this course because it's just such a beautiful place, golf or otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was just magnificent.
And the holes that you can see from there, because you're at the bottom of the hill, so those fairways just go up and disappear around a corner. A
lot of roller coaster fairways up and down. So your big tee box, but you tee down a hill and then come back up to a green and you can see them. You've got the height of the greens near the clubhouse, but they roller coaster down and then back up to the tee box. Yeah.
This course, obviously there's a lot of rankings course, but this thing tops nearly all the courses on aesthetics. It's number one on nearly all of them, unanimous across the board sort of thing. And you can see why. It is just spectacular.
And every single hole too. Even the real good courses we've played, still sneaking, Joondalup, which we love. Joondalup still had one short, flat, straight par three.
Yep.
This
18 holes of
of magic. Yep. Its worst hole would still be the best hole on 9 out of 10 courses.
Yep. 100% agree.
And I said the individual. Wasn't there some long drives between the holes?
Oh well, I've got a stat for you.
Okay.
How many kilometers of paths?
Oh,
between holes, do you reckon there are?
So the course will be 6 kilometers. Of course, there's probably at least 4 kilometers of path.
There's 12 kilometers of path. This is between the holes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
There's 12 kilometers of path.
Wow.
So, so obviously carts are compulsory here. So and you wouldn't want to walk this course. It's too much undulation and too up and down.
Yeah.
Very, very, even the par three, some of the par threes, I think it's the third or fourth hole. You got the tee box, but then it drops down about 100 foot, then comes, you're on par with the green. Oh, actually, probably green's a little bit below you, but the actual walk between the tee box and the green drops.
It'd be a tough walk.
It'd be interesting to see how we'd go walking it. I wonder if they'd even allow to,
I think there was a group walking in front of us,
I can't remember seeing anyone.
How difficult were the greens?
Normally,
greens are difficult because they're just so quick.
Yep.
These weren't quick.
No, they were super slow.
But they were too paced as well, though.
Yeah.
We said that to the guy afterwards, and he said,
it's a Bermuda grass, so it's a little bit longer than your normal bent grass and that we normally play.
Because it's tree-lined, the grass will reach out for the sun. So as the sun moves across the sky, the grass, now we need video because I'm pointing my hands to the air and moving them in different directions. Yeah, the grass changes angles and lines and up that. So, when the sun's straight above, the grass is straight up, so they're really slow. But then later in the afternoon, the grass will be sloped at 45 degrees. So if you're putting with it, it'll be quick. But then if you're putting against it, it'll be double slow.
Yeah, and that's what made it. I think that it was a combination of we thought if it was downhill, it was quick. And you had to smash it uphill.
Oh.
But because it was like playing Jubilee, all of greens were on massive hill cliff. It was so hard to get a read on them.
Oh.
They looked like they were going left for nobody's business. So you'd aim left. And then if you got it wrong, you'd turn a 6-foot putt into an 8-foot putt coming back.
And we both really wanted to play well. And we didn't play that great, but we played okay. But the first, so I've smashed a drive up the middle.
Yep.
Hit a wedge it might have been a 5-iron onto the green.
Yep.
And thought, wow, this is great. And four-putted.
For a bogey.
And it wasn't that bad.
Yeah. Yeah, and that wasn't even your worst maximum
amount
of putts.
I had 2 four-putts and a five-putt.
Five-putt, yeah. And it wasn't like a...
And it wasn't... I had a five-putt at Jubilee, and that was stupid.
Yeah.
This wasn't that bad.
I was just going to say, it was a legit normal five-putt.
Plenty of times you're playing golf and you're on the green and you say, geez, I'd take 2 from here. We're saying, I'll take 3 from here. Oh. And you never say, I'll take 3.
Yeah, and I've never been more... I've always wanted not to think I'm a great putter, but I look at people that putt over 1.5 and they think, just put it in.
Yeah.
I've never stood over more 1.5, 2-foot putts and just thought, I can't make this. Yeah. Felt my knees shaking because I thought, this is impossible. Yeah. I'm going to make it. They weren't bad greens.
No,
they were just
bad.
So different. And
they were the most difficult greens I've ever played.
Yeah, absolutely. I can
but again,
that.
But it didn't ruin the like. They weren't silly difficult. Like sometimes you play, they're that quick, it's just stupid and ruins it. But the greens didn't ruin the day. They were difficult, but good golfers would have figured them out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like, and he said to us, come back in sort of October, November. He said it plays like a different course. Different course, the greens will be different. But like, I've actually got a thing here right now with your five putt. The funny thing with the five putt, it was on the eighth, which was a 440-meter par four, which is just funny. How, like, you take, they always say this in golf, like, you take three shots to go 440 meters, and then to go that last 20 meters took you five.
Oh,
like,
it was horrible. It was just bizarre.
It's crazy. Oh, and that the one thing that I thought was really, really cool was the yardage markers out on the course.
Oh, weren't they great? Yeah.
Yeah, so normally most courses, as everyone knows, has some sort of a post or just...
Most of them are just a pine post.
Yep. Where these had like the black boys. So, yeah, so the one black boy, two black boy or three black boy was your 100, 150 and 200 markers, which was great. And so it was really... like. And you didn't even know they were there unless you were looking for a yardage. It was That was a real classy touch, I reckon.
It was. And look, signature hole, it could be any of them really, couldn't it? The first was great. The 18th was unreal.
I've actually got a signature hole that I thought. You could pick one.
Which one did you have?
The 10th, which was the one we had to wait for ages up on the tee box, and it's got a... The one where there's got the gorge in the middle, and I hit a good drive, and I tried to take the green. It was one where I went up the hill and slipped down trying to get my ball. Yep. So you got sort of double carry.
Yep.
You got the gorge, and then so you got the option to force you to lay up on that second shot or go for the green. But you're right, it could be anyone. Yeah. But
the other thing that I like, they give you an A4 sheet of paper with a little three or four line description on how to play each hole.
Yeah, that you read for the first three holes and then...
and then don't read anymore. But is it, the other thing now, back in the club rooms, they had that wall of fame. They had these big pictures
of
all the
famous
people.
I've got a photo of that too.
Yeah, that was really cool. And when famous, you know, it wasn't Tom Cruise or Barack Obama hadn't played there, but it was Kerri-Ann Kennelly, Tubby Taylor, all the Australian sort of celebrities that had played there, and a few good golfers, whatever. But it looked really good.
And it was because it was in the staircase well. So as you were walking up the stairs, you could sort of see them all. It was a real...
Because it didn't look boastful. By any means, which it could have.
Yeah.
It looked really good.
Yeah. But it's funny, like this course is ranked 10 in the golf magazines.
Yeah.
But Golf Digest ranks at 35. So they're saying there's 34 courses better.
I don't see how that's possible.
Yeah, I don't see how that's possible either. No. I thought that's really interesting. But look, you could go on about this forever. Like as far as the ranking, the Chili Dippers ranking, the most important ranking of them all.
Oh, yeah, yep. It's a Carolina Reaper for me.
Me too.
Right? Now, but because... So that will make it the fourth one in there. I haven't got it in front of the two New Zealand ones.
No. Now, before you don't know where you're going, when we were driving home, we were discussing the course, and you went, and we were discussing it, and I said, and then you went to say, is it better? And I said, because I was going to ask you the exact same question, and we like to sort of hold things off on the pod.
Yeah, so it's first time and genuine reaction.
Yeah, would you play this or Joondalup? And I even said to you, because we knew what the question was going to be, and then I said, I reckon I've even got the exact same answer as you did. I've got my mind made up.
Now, when we say Joondalup, are we 18 or 27?
18. The best 18 at Joondalup. So the June Quarry 18.
I would nearly play the best 18 at Joondalup. That said, the best 18 at Joondalup, I had 80.
Yeah.
We played Stableford, but I would have nearly had 100 here, I suppose, or 95 to 100.
I don't even know. Yeah.
So
that obviously plays a factor. I like to think it doesn't.
Yeah, I wonder if that's what I'm saying. I wonder if I had 80 around
Bonville,
and 100 around Joondalup, if I'd be saying something different.
What do you reckon? I think the best four or five holes are on Joondalup.
Yeah.
But as an 18, I think Bonville's a more fun track.
Yeah, yeah.
Look,
when you say the best, that's the thing. Remember, we played 27 at Joondalup, and we're taking out the bad. And when I say it, it's 51-49.
Oh, exactly. It's 15.5-50. Exact same thing.
It is so close. And I wouldn't, as I said, wouldn't care either way, and could make an argument either way.
Yeah.
Look, if we're taking everything into consideration that Joondalup is in Perth and Perth is better than Coffs Harbour, like they're saying, if you can just go to one for a day, you know, because Perth is better. So
yeah, I'd probably use my factor, teleportation purchase to go to it. I don't know. If you said if you could step in this teleportation machine tomorrow and go play Bonville, or you can go play Joondalup, I don't know.
Look, and that's I'd love to play them back to back somehow.
Yeah, if
play
you could,
one,
yeah.
then play to the other, then play one and then the other, even play them a couple of times and see. But all we can do is recommend it. Look, we need more people to play these courses and tell us.
Yep. Yeah. So look, there's not many courses get the Carolina Reaper.
Well, there's four. Badge. There's four, and there's only two in Australia.
Yeah. So we can't speak highly of it enough.
Yeah.
Well,
one thing that may have been a fraction of a downer, but was still an upper, our hotel room that night. we booked in the Ibis budget, which was lived up to its name.
Yep.
But they rang me on course and said there was a problem with one of your rooms, the room that I'd booked. They wanted to move me into another room. And I said, no. But when we got there, they'd moved us into another room, which was a tiny room, two flat beds, no good. And I said, hey, move me back into the room I booked. Now, did you hear why we went to the room and then come back? There was another lady at the desk complaining. Did you hear what she was complaining about?
No, I knew she was complaining. I didn't hear it, no.
Her complaint was, my room smells of urine.
Oh, I did hear that.
I think someone's just pissed all over the room. And that's not a good, even though that's not your room, that's not a good complaint to hear. Any room in the hotel does that.
No. I'd nearly even prefer to stay at the Apple Lodge than the Ibis budget.
But so our room, I liked the bed setup. The bed setup was a queen size bed
on the floor. You had the queen on the floor.
But then rather than parallel with it, in a T-shaped above it was a single bed above. Like a single bunk bed above the thing, but there wasn't much room for anything else other than
there was
the bed. And the shower setup was.
The shower was horrendous. The shower was a little. For what the space had, they made good space of it if the shower had a screen.
Yeah.
So it was a triangle, toilet in one corner of the triangle, little vanity in the other, and then the shower cut across something, but it just had a shower curtain.
And a flat floor.
And the drain was in the middle of the room,
yeah.
So obviously the tiles are sloping back to that drain. So when you shower, the entire bath, there was nothing nothing to stop the water from just...
And so what, the shower head was about the size of a 20-cent piece?
Yeah.
It's funny, remember, in the morning I come out and you said, I couldn't even hear the shower running. How did you get wet? I said, I had to move around a lot.
You had to run around to get wet.
Yeah, so it wasn't the Coffs Harbour Hotel wasn't fantastic.
And then I get the news that staying at Bonville at the course wasn't that much more expensive, apparently.
But the hotel was... my complaining got us a free breakfast.
free bag of...
A slice of toast. Some cornflakes.
Now, I've crossed out all my notes here. I've got one thing. I don't know what it is. It says, Burns Head App Done.
Burns Head App Done.
Burns Head App Done. What do I mean there?
I have no idea. Are you making an app that's got a Burns Head App?
I don't know. Club rooms photo. Burns Head App Done. Anyway, we'll move on.
All right.
Look. Bonville.
Magnificent.
Get there. As we discussed before this, we thought the Bonville course review would take up the majority of this pod. So we're not going to do a proper segment. I wasn't going to say a proper segment. We'll call this question time because we haven't played the question time intro for a while.
Welcome, welcome to question time.
One of our more loyal listeners, Ian Beavis Haywood, has...
Speaking of loyal listeners, I've got something to mention after, but go ahead.
Has sent us in a question.
Ooh.
It said, hey guys, I've got a question for you. So we've heard at some stage there will be a Chili Dippers golf day / comp. I assume it will be at your local course with numbers being made up of your friends, loyal listeners, and maybe a D-grade celebrity. My question is, you're able to create the ultimate Chili Dippers open cup / whatever. Where would you hold it? We'll answer these as he's got. So where would you hold it?
Well, the ideal location is here at Blackball. If you could hold it at Bonville. Other one? Joondalup, you would. That'd be great venue.
Yep. So it's very, very highly likely that it'll be at Blackball.
Yep.
What kind of format would it be?
Look, I love Teams events and Ambrose, some format of Teams Ambrose.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe if you could have a 2-day event, if people would actually be bothered staying over, sort of thing, you'd have a 2-person 2-day event. One would be a 2-person Ambrose, second would be like an alternate shot or something like
something
that.
The Teams events are great fun.
Yep. Any special rules you'd like to implement / make up? Now we've spoken about this in the past. We've done a heap of sort of like silly, gimmicky things along the way, but we will probably more likely keep a fairly straightforward golf.
Pretty true to golf.
Yeah, but look, when the day comes, we will have something in there to make it chilly dipperish.
Yep, fair enough.
Who plays and how do you qualify?
Well, we'd be running a no dickhead policy. So Ackermanis probably isn't getting an invite.
Yep.
Who plays? Yeah, friends of the Chili Dippers.
Yeah, pretty much whoever wants to play.
Oh, no.
Like, you know what I mean, within reason. Like, we're not going to, you're not going to have to quote unquote qualify for the event.
Having a genuine handicap, having a proper handicap will help you.
Yeah, yep. Will there be prize money?
There'll be prizes. Yeah. Be great prize, many great prizes.
Okay. What kind of food will we be serving? I'd love to get some steamed dim sims on the day just because they are the best on course.
Steamed dim sims.
And that'd be pretty easy to organise.
Hot dogs.
Yeah, some hot dogs. Some pies and pasties. They've always got them at the Buckball sandwiches.
snakes so the crows can have got something to eat.
That's actually his last question. So he said, the no limits, feel free to add any other special details. Look, we talk about this a fair bit off mic, so we do need to sort of do something. Yeah, so we might even look at when it sort of starts warming up a little bit.
Yeah, definitely be a daylight saving style operation.
Yep. So that's Beavis' question. So thanks for sending that in, Beavis. And anyone else who wants to send that in, you can either hit us up on the Instagram account or at chilidippers@gmail.com.
Well, while we're doing questions, I come across a question here from Adam Miller.
Do I know Adam Miller?
I used to play footy with Adam Miller up at Bean Lee, and I'm trying to remember his nickname because I actually didn't know his name until then because I only knew him by his nickname. Butcher. The Great Butcher. He was a serial cartwheeler while playing football. That's what he was known for. He was a great cartwheeler. Now, he sent in a which button would you press style question.
Okay.
Right, so there's all coloured buttons here. Red is 100 yards extra with your driver.
Mm-hmm. That'd be handy.
Blues get rid of the slice. Yellows get rid of the hook. Orange is never three putt. Purple is golf with Tiger Woods. They're your choices there. Which button would you press?
Can you pull that up so I can see me?
Yep.
Well, the blue and the yellow, they get rid of slice and get rid of hook. Because I do, if you're a serial slicer or a hooker, but I do them all, so no use me pressing one because I'm still got...
I hit it dead straight every time, so I don't need
Never three putt. If I don't play Bonville, I don't very often three putt anyway. So I can cop three putt.
Yep.
100 yards off your driver would be extra.
That's the one for me because I'm such a small driver. That would make such a huge difference to my game.
Yeah.
If I could keep the amount of fairways I hit with an extra 100 yards, that's changing my game inside out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that would be silly. Like, you'd be a silly golfer because like hitting at 400 is silly.
Yeah. It'd be all that. Look,
golf with Tiger Woods.
Yeah, I was about to say, because
that's the
that's
one.
A once, yeah, I think I would. And look, and for you, obviously, switch it out for someone else other than Tiger Woods.
Yeah, I don't like Tiger. I'd still take the 100 yards.
I think I'd take the. Because it doesn't say only one round either. It sounds like I can play with him as much as I want. Yeah, I'm taking the time. I'm hitting the purple button, Tiger Woods.
I reckon my handicap drops 5 shots if I hit an extra 100 yards off the tee.
I probably would,
that was from Butch, the Great Butch. Now, I was having a look at, while you were fiddling around before, I was having a look at our listener stats and our handicap, our golf handicap, our podcast handicap, which has come in a bit. We'd rolled out a bit, but we've been pretty solid lately. So our handicaps come in to 16.
16. I reckon I don't reckon our anchors were the Nemerka. They weren't anchors.
No. But also, I was listening now. As you know, we get the stats of our listeners and where we get them from, and there was one constant. It was our Macau listener. The great man Chops, Jason Lampson. Which surprises me. He's a busy man, and he's a pretty serious cat.
That's what I love about it. Yeah, that he does finds time to listen to our dribble.
Oh, don't think. So, so that was good. As I said, we've got a listener in Sweden. We've got a few in America, a few in Canada, which we don't know who that is and how they've picked that up, or if it's someone we know who was travelling there and just listened there once. But as I said, there's that constant in Macau, Hong Kong, of CHOP. So I would just like to say thanks. As I said, I'm surprised because, as I said, he's a serious dude.
Yeah.
And we're not. But he loves you. He loves you every time I come. Like, I'll ring up and say, I'm coming for a visit. What's Clarkie doing? He couldn't care less if I come and visit. He just wants to know what Clarkie's doing.
Well, the feeling's mutual, Chops. Feeling's mutual.
Right, so, we'll have to get back over there. We could even get a microphone in front of him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That'd be good.
Yeah,
that'd
so I just wanted a little shout-out to Chops and just mention how we're travelling handicap-wise podcast style.
Very, very good. Shout-out to you, Chops. All right, we're going to leave this here. We've gone over time, but it's the great Bonville podcast.
My favourite part. I always forget, too, that I get to do this.
And you pipe up like a freaking little kid on Christmas morning. And I slump into my chair and think, how am I going to react to this? Rolls. Oh, I know how it works, mate. don't start that. So, Rolls, any final questions before we go, mate?
Questions? Any final words?
Any final words before we go?
Well, I just got back from Abu Dhabi, which was a fairly rough sort of trip and you know, a fair bit going on, a fairly rough sort of place. And I was back safe in my bed at home and I thought, a ship is safe in the harbour, but that's not what ships are for.
Yeah, it's a very good saying, that very good saying. We will leave it here.
Yes, we will.
Thank you for listening. Chili Dippers, out.
Strong, but I'm feeling no pain. Got an old brown bag, big sticky on the back, but the grass don't grow. Gonna take a few hacks. There's a place for you if you're just like me. I'm Jeff Rich, yelling at the TV. You have another cool one, but it won't hurt. Got myself a big stick swinging in the dirt. With a little bit of pay, but I feel no pressure. Couple lessons a day. We're working on the swing and talking trash. Take another good hit, try to make it last. There's a place for you if you're just like me. I'm chair boys, get out of the TV. 20 boys in a row, I'm getting shirts.